Yeah, we're skipping church too.
This is Sports Sunday with Joshua Briscoe on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome back to Sports Sunday here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. My name is Joshua Briscoe. You know that the voice I just said. Why do I say that every time? I don't know. It's like going to autopilot for the first 4 seconds of every segment. I don't know. This is probably going to be a whole Chiefs hour, which I'm sure is very exciting for some of you. But I cannot encourage you enough. If you're just listening to this podcast later on and you missed the first hour of the show, please go find the podcast. I'll tweet it. I might pin it to my page. It might be the best hour of radio I've ever been a part of. Why? Because it was insightful and had biting commentary? No. No, we talked about horoscopes for a while. We talked about the eclipse and horoscopes. I found out that my shirt was inside out at like 9:52. I've since turned my shirt inside out during the break. Rudy, that one was for free, but never again. Just so you know.
I marked it. I was talking to Charlie. We were discussing stuff, so I don't know what it was, but I did mark it. Because, like, I feel confident it was good.
This is also, quickly, before we get to Chiefs stuff, because I do want to talk about the preseason game, because it was not a great time. Maybe I don't really want to talk about it, but we're going to. There was an interesting, fun dynamic of having Rudy and Charlie both in here. Because very, like, behind the curtain, Rudy took over my weekend morning time slots of, like, board running, and Charlie was here for those. Now Charlie is also here. So there's, like, now there's, like, there are technically, well, not technically, that's an unnecessary word. There are three people in the building now. There are usually two in this time slot. So I think that's also contributing to how weird this show has been, and I like it. So if you're listening to this on the podcast later on, as I know lots of people do, believe it or not. Can you believe that? Yeah, that's true. I cannot encourage you enough to go back and find that first hour. It'll be on the – you can go to 18whb.com and you go to additional programming and find hour one, or you can find – I'll tweet it out also, and that's at JB Briscoe, which you obviously knew already. Talk about the fight last night, last hour. The weirdness of that. How I'd like to see more athletes fight, but not fighters, just like LeBron versus Mike Trout. Or like Kyrie and LeBron. But I guess Kyrie Irving would have to like carry in Mike Trout's baseball bat or something. Maybe it's Kyrie and Mike Trout. And then Star Talk. The show turned into Star Talk for a little bit. But bad, factually incorrect Star Talk. I'm proud of what we produced last hour. I was not as terribly proud of what the Chiefs produced on Saturday. Not Saturday. Friday. That makes more sense. Yesterday was Saturday. Not terribly thrilled with what the Chiefs produced on Friday. My Twitter timeline was kind of amazing to watch. Not in a good way, though, during the game. All the way up until kickoff, it was all this talk about how, oh, the third preseason game is the game when you can actually learn some things about your team. You can actually begin to get a feel for what's going on. You get a feel for everything that the Chiefs are. And then as the game went on and you were collectively met with a chorus of, it's just the preseason. Don't worry. Everything's going to be fine. And that tide shifting was obvious and kind of sad. Because you realized, oh God, if you did put any faith in this game, you've got to do some real deep thinking. It was not good. The offense was the problem that stuck with me the most. I think this defense has a ton of talent on it. Eric Berry and Justin Houston both did not play against the Seahawks, and I can go ahead and tell you now, if Justin Houston and Eric Berry don't play this season, or if either of them, both of them, I should say, if both of them get knocked out for the year at some point, the defense is going to be a whole lot worse than we thought it was going to be. That's pretty straightforward. I'm pretty comfortable with that. The defense had its problems, but I'm not losing any sleep over it. I still think that defensive line is super talented and very deep. I think that defensive line is going to do a lot of very good things. Chris Jones came back on Friday. Benny Logan in the middle. Roy Miller left the game but seemed to be fine. He has some great depth. Raquinas Roches looked really good. Tano Pastino didn't play either on Friday. I think he's going to be a big part of this defense. Not a starter part, but I think he is going to play an important role in this defense. As he continues to grow, I think he's going to have a little bit of a Chris Jones factor to him, where halfway through his rookie season, it's going to be kind of unexpected for most people, and it's going to be kind of raw. But when you have a 290-pound guy out there who's occasionally rushing from 2 feet, a guy playing outside linebacker standing up, or he occasionally has his hands on the ground lined up over center, you're gonna get some crazy production from that guy, even whenever it's all a little raw. He's an athletic monster. He didn't play on Friday. I'm feeling pretty good about that front line. Alan Bailey also is simply dynamic. I have my concerns about D4. He had a couple of nice plays in the pass rush, but he still looked like a liability in run defense, and you can't be going into, what, your fourth year, top of my head, in the NFL. Fifth year, right? Oh, God, Rudy and Charlie both aren't listening. Don't worry about it, guys. I got it. Don't worry about it.
We're talking about some serious Danny Woodhead fantasy football stuff here.
He's going into his fourth year, and the Chiefs picked up his fifth-year option, so he's going to be here next year also. That's what the thing was. I knew they picked up his fifth-year option. I couldn't even remember which year he was currently in. Thanks, guys.
$8.5 million, if you're wondering what that fifth-year option's for.
I was wondering what year he was in!
I know the option.
I also found my red pen that was in the studio. It's just been here for like weeks, but it hasn't been stolen or lost, so I'm taking it back now. Back in my backpack. Oh, God. Thank you for nothing, both of you. D-Ford had a couple of nice moments in the pass rush. He's had a couple times this preseason where he's kind of just bull rushed a guy, and it was not expected, because D Ford has historically been a dude who's known for having a very fast first step, and that's where he usually wins. And if he doesn't win there, he doesn't win. So I think that D Ford, I think that he actually is going to have, he's going to have a nice season. I think he's going to look more like the first half of D Ford last year than the second half. One thing that definitely can give you pause is the fact that whenever he moved from being over the right tackle to the left tackle, so the inverse for the defense perspective, but whenever he moved from essentially rushing up against the worst of the two tackles, the right tackle versus the left tackle, whenever Justin Houston came back, that's when D Ford started to slide. His production just dropped. It wasn't even a slide. His production fell off a cliff. And that's concerning. I understand. The other thing, though, that I think demands to be discussed is the fact that his hamstring was a problem from that point forward. It was almost at the exact same time. It might have been separated by a game or so. I don't remember what was first, but I know that his hamstring became an issue right around the same time that Justin Houston came back. So the fear is, which of those things caused the drop-off in his production? And he said this offseason, surprisingly to me, because we don't usually, as fans, as media, whatever, we don't usually let players talk about their injuries holding them back, because we just want to hear people say, oh, nobody's 100%. You know, we're all just out there trying to be healthy and everything. And D Ford even said, you know, being healthy is part of my job, which I don't really know how you do that part of your job when you're playing football. Like, Yeah, you know, I mean, I could have stretched. I could have done some hamstring stretches more aggressively before the game. That's not really how this works. So I digress to that point. But I think that Dee Ford looked different after the hamstring injury. He didn't look the same. And I don't think that's because he was going up against better offensive linemen. I think as the quality of offensive linemen fluctuates, his production also realistically would have fluctuated. And it really didn't. He just was not very effective after that injury last year. So he's back and healthy. I'm pretty optimistic about him. As I said, Justin Houston didn't play against the Seahawks. He was sick. He and Tano Passanio, I should have mentioned that sooner. Justin Houston and Tano Passanio both had the flu, apparently. Actually, I don't know if they ever said the flu. I think after the game, Andy Reid said the flu. Officially, it was a sickness or an illness. But I think that Andy Reid said after the game that it was a flu for both of those two guys. And so that's not a long-term thing. Eric Berry was getting rest, which is bizarre. It ended up being that kind of resting up the heel. And so that concerns me a little bit. But, you know, this isn't something, well, actually, I should say this is something, but like the OTAs, the voluntary mini camps, whatever, that Eric Berry wasn't at. Eric Berry is a capable football player. He wasn't getting rest because he's fat. He was getting rest because his heel is injured. And so you can give a guy, also your first game was on a Thursday. You can essentially give Eric Berry 2.5 weeks off if you want to make sure that he's ready for that Patriots game. And that's what the Chiefs are doing in a lot of different arenas. I hope also, and this is the thing that worries me the most as far as guys who didn't play, and then we'll talk about the actual game more coming up. But as far as the guys who didn't play on Friday, Terrence Mitchell concerns me the most. I was there the day that he got pulled out of practice at training camp with his hamstring injury, and nobody really had a huge reaction to it. And you think, oh man, that doesn't look great. I think he got carted up the hill. I was there that day. I didn't see this happen because I was carrying equipment. I remember this. I don't know why, but that's what was happening. So I didn't literally see him in the cart. There's some transparency for you. But I wasn't there. I was close. I was close to seeing it. I almost saw it happen. What does that count for? Nothing. I get it. But all that to say, I remember that being the day that I was there. That was a while ago. And hamstring injuries terrify me because they have a tendency to nag. Dee Ford and Spencer Ware last year both were significantly different after their hamstring injuries sort of set in. Terrence Mitchell hasn't done anything since that injury. I would be very surprised to see him play in the fourth preseason game. I would like to see him maybe go get a series just to run with some competitive NFL players. But even then, they're playing the Titans on Thursday. I don't even know if we're going to see any of those guys. I mean, there might be a few new additions to that. I know there are a few new additions to that roster that, you know, maybe the Titans would like to see Mariota get some sort of chemistry time with, if you will. But they've had plenty of that. I don't think anybody's going to risk much of anything out there this season. Especially, and I know this happens every preseason, but Julian Edelman is out for the year. Spencer Ware is going to miss some time. I feel like there's another seasoning injury during week two of the preseason that I cannot place right now. But I don't think that many teams have much interest in trotting out their ones before a week, or for some teams, I guess, like 10 days before their season actually begins. Obviously, the Chiefs are playing a Thursday night preseason game, and then they're starting the season the next Thursday. Maybe Terrence Mitchell gets some run. But I hope that if the hamstring is something that, as you assume for most hamstring injuries, if it's something that gets made better by rest, then I hope that having an uncommon amount of time to rest without missing any actual games, I hope that's something that greatly impacts Terrence Mitchell's ability to come back from this without losing a step or without being in and out of games, without being inconsistent, because that's the position on this team that I'm most concerned about right now. Honorable mention to the wide receivers. But the receivers and the cornerbacks really concern me, and I know that the thing on Twitter that I've seen a lot recently is people being nervous, being made nervous about the offensive line depth, and I think that's understandable. I get it. The drop off from like Eric Fisher and Mitchell Schwartz to Ja Reed is pretty far, and I understand that. That's all well and good and true, but ideally those guys aren't going to play, and at least one guard spot and center, the Chiefs have very capable backups. Zach Fulton is a very capable center. He's a very capable guard. Brian Witzman's a pretty capable guard. I think Parker Anger will win that left guard job back before the season actually begins. But he didn't play in the third preseason game either. So that might be something that changes a week or two into the season, which wouldn't be great. But does feel like a possibility at this point. So those are the things that concern me as far as guys who didn't play. I think I started this conversation off by talking about how the defense struggling a little bit against the Seahawks does not concern me because so many guys weren't playing. Now, of course, if that becomes the norm, if the Chiefs get into a pattern of not having Terrence Mitchell, not having Justin Houston, not having Eric Berry, not having Dee Ford at full strength, not having Benny Logan, not having Chris Jones. If any of those things become a pattern, then of course the cause for concern opens up. But that's true for any team. If you went to the Seahawks and said, hey, you're going to lose Richard Sherman for part of the season, you're going to lose Earl Thomas for part of the season, then there would be significant damage done to that defense. In fact, oh God, I can't remember when it was. But didn't Earl Thomas break his leg like a year and a half, 2 years ago? I don't think it was last season. I think it was the year before, maybe. It doesn't really matter. But whenever Earl Thomas broke his leg, that entire defense changed in a big way. It was noticeable. Like I would think it was noticeable to a pretty like average viewer, not even necessarily somebody who was super deep into the game. That's going to happen anywhere. The Chiefs are, if not simply as susceptible to that as anybody, maybe a little more so, because at least let me redirect that. Let me make that more specific. As far as pass rushers and cornerbacks, I think the Chiefs are probably more fragile than most teams. Not necessarily in regards to the individual health of those guys, although that might be true. Because Justin Houston, God knows, we haven't seen him healthy in 2 years. Tom Bahali is old and inactive through the preseason. Dee Ford spent half of last season injured. So as Daddy Nicholas didn't play on Friday, I don't remember why that was either. Tano Passanio was hurt. It was knee surgery. Oh, yeah, you're right. Daddy Nicholas. Thank you, Rudy. You're right. Daddy Nicholas has been out long term. Actually, I don't know when, but is he on the PUP list? I don't think Daddy Nicholas is on the PUP list, which I think
Roto World has his status as questionable for week one. So,
okay.
They usually kind of know.
All right. Good pull on that though, Rudy. Thank you. Charlie would have taken 6 months to give me that information. Charlie threw his hands in the air before I said his name. Neil was coming. Listen, Charlie, instead of raging at me through the window, just watch Rudy and take some notes. That's all. I'm not saying you can't get better. I'm saying you can. Rudy's just got good instincts. Anyway. Ooh, hold on, time out in the show. A soccer player just died on NBC Sports Network in front of me. Ooh, God, I think... Oh, man, they're going to bring out the pallbearers now. Oh, never mind, he's fine. What was I talking about? Oh yeah, the fragility of the Chiefs defense. All right, I had a great point here. So there are some fragility issues. Oh man, he got kicked in the ankle playing a kicking game. He is up again though. Very quick sidetrack because I live under a perpetual state of fear that Nate Bucati is listening. I do not, or and also Jake. Oh God, either of them could kick me to death for sure. I'm not saying that soccer players are weenies. They're not. They are very athletic. And I'm guessing very tough. I think it was Aiko Parra got like kicked in the head a little while ago. Somebody give me a thumbs up. Thank you, Rudy. Charlie again. Rudy was very quick on the trigger there. Ooh, the door just blew shut. That was spooky. Could you hear that through the microphone? There's a ghost in here. Or it's windy outside. But I was going to say, though, perpetual fear of Nate or Jake kicking me to death at some point. It just drives me crazy whenever during Premier League soccer matches a guy just like rolls around for 30 seconds. That's all. I'm also going to expand this. Literally every soccer player could beat me up. I'm aware of that fact. I will not pick a fight with a soccer player. Now back to talking about legitimately the fragility of some of the Chiefs, which also does feel like a stupid thing to say. The fragility of the Chiefs defense as a whole. I do think that the Chiefs have a little higher risk than most teams, only at outside linebacker and cornerback. To mention, all those outside linebackers have issues. So Daddy Nicholas, your fourth guy up, coming back from surgery. I guess Frank Zombo is your fourth or fifth guy there in that rotation. But Tom Bahali has been in and out of the lineup for like half a century or half a decade at this point. Not a century. He's been in that lineup for half a decade at this point, in and out of practice. You know, he gets like his built-in off days and everything. So his health concerns me a little bit. We haven't seen Justin Houston healthy in 2 years. D. Ford had the hamstring injury for half of last season. If those guys stay healthy, that's a really good group of pass rushers. But that does concern me. Plus, again, to the point of the fragility of the unit, that's what the larger concern is to me. Because what if Justin Houston is never Justin Houston again? What if he drops off? Then all of a sudden you're watching Tom Bahali and D. Ford and Daddy Nicholas have to carry that pass rush unit. That deeply concerns me. Even if it's just D. Ford, then all of a sudden Tom Bahali is getting a lot more work than I think the Chiefs would want him to, et cetera, et cetera. Outside linebacker position as a whole is fragile. Not necessarily that the guys are, but the position is, and the guys all have injury issues in the last year or so. The corners are the other section of this defense that concerns me. Terrence Mitchell currently being hampered by a hamstring injury. That is scary because he is easily the second best corner on this team, and the drop-off from 2 to 3 is huge. Unless you want to say Steven Nelson's the third best corner on this team whenever he is playing the nickel spot, which he will be getting plenty of playing time doing that, by the way, with the way Bob Sutton's defense works. He'll be on the field plenty. He's a very good nickel corner. I don't want to see him get moved to the outside. I'd like to see him stay where he's performing very well. But if you're going to say the drop-off from Terrence Mitchell to the third outside corner, that's terrifying. Because I guess it's probably DJ White. Or maybe you move Steven Nelson outside and you put Philip Gaines in the slot. For all of the Philip Gaines issues that exist, he could make a decent nickel corner, I think, in a pinch. Not ideal, though. And then obviously, if the Chiefs at any point lose Marcus Peters, It would be an unbelievable, maybe an unovercomable loss for this team. So Those are the two places that I do worry about. We'll talk about the offense whenever we come back. We'll also take calls, Patrick and JT, both of you guys. We'll get to you as soon as we get back from this break here. 913-3810-810. Take your Chiefs calls, take your questions, offense talk whenever we come back here. You're listening to Sports and then sometimes Science Sunday.
This is Sports Sunday with Joshua Briscoe.
I have a millennial-sized attention span.
On Sports Radio 810.
Because there's still a naked baby on the microphone across from me.
WHB.
I heard through my headphones, literally, I just heard my own voice in the liner coming back from break. I was so wrapped up in a conversation with Rudy about our first phone. That I had no idea we were coming back from break. Apparently, Rudy and I both started off with the Motorola Razr flip phone, the iconic Razr. Then we both went to the BlackBerry with a little rolly ball. Both of those were great phones. Great phones. Yeah, Charlie, you also had a BlackBerry. I mean, that's. Did you have a Razr, Charlie? Charlie says he did not. Not that cool. Not like Rudy and me.
And my Razr had a dragon on it.
And
my Razr had a dragon.
I didn't even know that existed. I Googled it, and it's honestly the dopest thing ever. If I can travel back in time 9 years, I think. I missed the Razr, honestly. 913-3810-810. What was your first phone? And we'll talk about the Chiefs. I'll talk about the offense here of my own volition in a second, and we'll get to Patrick and JT in literally momentarily. First, Rudy, you said somebody called in and they just ranted at you and then hung up. And what did they say?
So their main point was that the linebackers are old and slow, and like that's going to be our biggest issue.
Okay.
They don't move very well, and that since Justin Houston didn't play, that's a very telling sign.
Yeah, because he could have the flu for 16 weeks.
Yeah.
You never know. Sometimes flu stick around longer than you think.
People have died from the flu. I'm not saying just Houston will, but people
that's
have.
That's true. That's a concern that I think the Chiefs should have.
It's really watch it.
It could be fatal. Yeah, good point.
And that the defense, like, that's going to be our biggest worry. The offense should be fine. It's going to score its points. But what happened against Pittsburgh is going to be something to really watch out for. Because it's not like Pittsburgh didn't have this running back that was maybe no other team has in the NFL. Le'Veon Bell.
Nothing fills me with the kind of rage as guy who blames the playoff loss on the defense. That guy, he makes an appearance every week. On a weekly basis, somebody goes, man, the offense was, or just actually, they never mentioned the offense, actually, just the defense couldn't stop Le'Veon Bell in the playoffs. They only gave up field goals. How many points did they score? It was like, wait, 16? That math doesn't work out.
18.
18?
I believe it was 6 field goals.
You're right. I think you're right. If you, good God, you listen here, punk. If your defense gives up 18 points in the playoffs, and you lose that game, that's not your defense's fault. Let's go to the phones, 913-810-810. Let's start off with JT. JT, what's on your mind?
Well, the fragility of the unit kind of struck a chord with me, so I thought I should call and talk about it.
Okay. When you put it that way.
Huh? Yeah.
When you put it that way. Oh, hold on really quick here. Sorry, JT. Burkholder on Spencer Ware, he has a torn PCL. You can play with that with the rehab, but he has damage to the LCL, and staff believes he'll probably be out for the season. That just came down Twitter. That's from Therese Paler. So it sounds like Spencer Ware is probably done for the season.
Hey, happy day for Sharkhandy or Quest. He'll probably make it.
Yeah, you're right.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So, but getting back to the defensive line, I mean, at this point, there are three pass rushers in the AFC West that are better than Justin Houston. And that means that the linebackers, the outside linebackers rather, not the defensive line, are going to have to be propped up by the defensive line for the Chiefs to do, to become an elite defense this year. I just don't I'm very worried about the situation with the outside linebackers. And I mean, the low pass, the low sack total from last year has to change. And I don't. Do you guys really think Tom Bali has anything left in the tank after what we saw?
Not really. No.
Yeah, so if he has nothing, then you've got Dee Ford, who's an on-again, off-again kind of player, and Justin Houston, who appears to not be over his injuries.
Well,
That's really awful.
I think, now this is me being optimistic uncharacteristically, but I agree with you in large part. If that's how it pans out, then it is awful. But Justin Houston having this full offseason, coming back from that kind of catastrophic knee injury usually does take about 2 years to get back to your full strength. This is going to be the last season you can say that. Now, if whatever he comes back as this year, I think is very likely going to be the actual Justin Houston. In fact, I'm even willing to give him, 4 weeks, maybe 6 weeks before I say, all right, this is all that there is, because whatever it takes to get back to game speed after really being, you know, behind the curve for almost two full years at this point. So, I'm willing to give Justin Houston a little bit of room there, and I do think that Dee Ford, the player that he was during the first half last year, was he was going to be a Pro Bowler. He was absolutely electric before that hamstring injury. I have a little bit of hope there also. I have just a little bit of hope for what Tom Bahali can be. Maybe he gives you 5 or 10 good snaps a game.
I don't know why, but it reminds me of in baseball when you have those teams that have a patched together rotation. Seems like a lot of hope.
Yeah,
you know?
You're right.
And so it scares me. Oh well. Anyway, that was really all I had. Thanks, guys.
JT, I appreciate it. Also, big news: Patrick Mahomes is going to start on Thursday. Thursday against the Titans, the fourth preseason game. But still, I mean, you could cut that highlight, right? Patrick Mahomes will start on Thursday.
Is this the beginning of something?
Versus the Titans. So no, it's not. Not even a little bit. But it'll make Thursday more fun. Another point on what JT said, he said, you know, the defensive line's going to have to prop up this defense. I think this defensive line actually is strong enough to do some defense propping up. I think they're going to get, now it's hard to rely on a 3-4 front to be the unit on this team that's getting you pressure consistently. So that does give me some pause. That is some cause for concern to say that you're going to rely on guys who are all getting double teamed essentially, or at least are essentially there to try to get double teamed really, so you can free up your linebackers. That's kind of how that defense usually tends to work out whenever you've got Justin Houston back there. But it does feel kind of like a patchwork pitching rotation. They're saying, well, you know, If Danny Duffy stays healthy, and if Jason Hamill is okay, and if Ian Kennedy comes back better than he was last year, yeah, I think there are some notes of that in the conversation about Chiefs pass rushers. 913-3810-810 is the phone number. Let's go to Patrick. Patrick, what's on your mind?
All right, listeners, Carl here. Let's put these young guys to work.
Okay.
That's a joke here about Patrick Mahomes starting, ain't it?
No, he's starting the fourth preseason game, which is pretty reasonable. Most of those starters aren't going to play in the fourth preseason game.
Well, let me see what else I call about. If you guys are talking about the defense, yeah, we're going to beat anybody. We got to get our defense improved, but also our offense. We didn't have 200 yards. All offense. We got to improve there if we're going to be any kind of contender. And then I want you guys to tell us, you know, how did our main competitions, Oakland, San Diego, and Denver, what did they do to better themselves? Who do you think is going to be our most toughest opponent there? I'm listening off air.
Great question, Patrick. As always, good to hear from you. So first, we'll probably run out of time in the show today before we can talk about all the issues I have with this offense. Really quick, let's talk about Spencer Ware. If he is out for the season, the Chiefs have a decent three-guy depth chart here. For the rest of this season. I think Kareem Hunt, I've said this for a long time, I thought that Kareem Hunt would get a lot of work in this offense even before Spencer Ware's injury. It's gonna be a learning curve for him. He's gonna be a guy who's gonna be in here getting a huge number of carries. Charkandrick West has had his moments in the preseason. And CJ Spiller, both of those guys have looked explosive in moments, and they've also looked a little washed up in moments. So that does concern me. I thought Spencer Ware was going to be the number one guy for the first section of the season, and then that eventually he and Kareem Hunt would really split reps pretty evenly. Eventually, Kareem Hunt would take over. That was sort of my projection for how this would go. That's obviously now becoming the Kareem Hunt show, which I think, again, can be good. I think that he has a lot of very, very good traits that I'm very excited about. But Spencer Ware, like Dee Ford last year, with his hamstring injury, was made to look like such a lesser player in the second half of the season as that injury crippled him. So I am probably actually more worried about Spencer Ware being out of this offense than your average Chiefs fan or analyst or fanalist or whatever, because I actually think that he was going to be a big part of this offense that Kareem Hunt is going to struggle to fill, because the Chiefs did have two running backs that were going to be a big part of making this offense better. Now it's just one, and then you hope that C.J. Spiller and Charkendrick West play a part, and that doesn't feel so great. So I have a lot of concerns there. The offense, as far as the receivers go, is a huge part of my concern about this team. I think Tyreek Hill is a true number one receiver. He dropped some passes on Friday. One of those was underthrown, by the way. We'll talk about it later. We're definitely going to get to a whole bunch more of this tomorrow. Again, from 4 to 6, if you haven't been listening yet, from 4 to 6 on ESPN Kansas City, the show's called Almost Entirely Sports. Lately, it's been Almost Entirely Chiefs, and the Chiefs talk has been Almost Entirely Mahomes. But there's a lot to talk about now, because we know what this team is going to look like, and there's a lot to break down, especially after the third preseason game. It sort of sets you free to talk about the actual team more than talk about the guys kind of on the fringes. So we'll talk about this more. 4 to 6, ESPN Kansas City, 99.3 FM, 1510 AM. Also, according to the Tress Paler, Andy Reid says that right now C.J. Spiller is on the team, which I don't really know if that... I don't know if that's news, because, of course, he was your fourth running back on a team that now has three running backs. That makes sense, regardless. So I'm very worried about the receivers. I think Tyreek Hill is a real number one receiver. I think Travis Kelce is the second best tight end in football. I feel very good about both of those things. I'm not really worried about them having some drops on Friday. I am worried about Alex Smith, because he's only as good as who surrounds him, and I do think his supporting cast has more holes in it than I think most people seem to say right now. Chris Conley is going to just be Chris Conley. I would be blown away if he becomes even a realistically impactful number two receiver. If he's close to the production of Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, I'll be pretty surprised. I'll be very surprised if he's close to the production of either of those two guys, barring injury. DeMarcus Robinson was going to be the third guy. Remember when all of that was the talk during training camp? He's gotten like four or five targets during the entire preseason. He and Justin March Lillard are two guys that right now I actually don't know if they're going to make the team. Guys who were, Justin March was a starter last year. DeMarcus Robinson was getting a lot of hype during training camp. March Lillard was playing nothing but special teams on Friday. DeMarcus Robinson's not getting on the field. I don't feel very good about who that third receiver is going to be. If it's Shontavious Jones, great. At least he's explosive. Jehu Chesson, maybe. I'm definitely worried there, though, about the rest of the offense. The offense is going to have problems again this year, and I don't feel great about it. Also, to Patrick's other question about the rest of the AFC West, what the Broncos have done to get better is they have gotten worse. Paxton Lynch got hurt whenever they played. It might have been, I don't remember if it was yesterday or 2 days ago. It was last night, actually, because people were tweeting about Jamaal Charles looking very good. So that's in addition to the Broncos. So maybe Jamaal Charles adds a little bit to that backfield. And right now, I would take Jamaal Charles back at a better salary, but I digress. Charlie just walked into the room and said, "Spencer Ware." Wow, yeah, man, come on, you're living in the 5 minutes ago. We're moving on to the Kareem Hunt era now. No one's worried about Spencer Ware anymore. It's okay. It's totally fine. I'm not worried. I'm not scared. I'm so scared.
You are reaching an all-time high of annoying today.
Really?
I'm helping with other things around the studio, but
course.
I just found out.
Are.
That sucks, though.
It does suck.
I want to hear your analysis, Mr.
Chief
Sexton. Listen
to the podcast. I just did it. I'm moving on to the rest of the AFC West right now to answer Patrick's question. If we have more time at the end of the show, we'll get to it, and we'll definitely do a bunch of it on the ESPN Kansas City show. But the Broncos have gotten worse because, or they've at least done nothing to get better. They've added Jamaal Charles and Trevor Siemian's their quarterback. Their defense is very talented, but their offense is going to be bad. Their quarterback is bad. Their quarterback is Alex Smith, but less so. That's Trevor Siemian right now. Paxton Lynch doesn't know what he's doing on an NFL field. The Raiders paid Derek Carr. Sean Smith has fallen down their depth chart, apparently. They're giving more money to more guys without adding new guys. The Raiders' defense is going to be bad this year. The offense is good and explosive, but they essentially had an extra drive per game last year. So their offensive stats are relatively inflated because their defense was getting off the field so quickly because they were getting scored on. The Chargers are getting healthier. They already lost, I think, their top two draft picks off the top of my head here, but Keenan Allen is coming back. So that offense is going to be much improved. I still have questions about their defense, though. Melvin Gordon, Keenan Allen, Phillip Rivers, that's a trio of significant talent. Also, the Raiders did add Marshawn Lynch. There's a little bit of a whip around the AFC West. We'll take a little bit of a break here. Whenever we come back, we'll wrap up the show and we'll talk to Tom. If you want to get in a call here before we wrap it up, it's 913-3810-810. Again, in case you missed it, it sounds like Spencer Ware is going to miss the season for the Chiefs in all likelihood. We'll talk about that and more here next on Sports Sunday.
This is Sports Sunday.
I think we did two really good hours
with Joshua Briscoe.
And we also did this hour
on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome back. I'm bummed about the Spencer Ware news. By the way, two good hours of radio today. That's all you can ask for. That's all we get. Fine by me. Good stuff so far. Cannot stress enough, if you missed any of the show, the podcasts are worth it. Weird first hour, very cheapy second hour. Don't know what else can you ask for? All right, we only have a little bit of time left here in this show, but I want to respond to a couple of things that I saw pop up on Twitter, and then we'll take a call from Tom, and then I think the show's going to be over. I'm continually more and more worried about this Chiefs offense. I really like Kareem Hunt a lot. I was excited to see him get a larger role in this offense as the season goes on. Now he's the number one guy. I'm not afraid of that. I think he's going to be very good. I think he's going to be used very well by Andy Reid. But I really liked him as a part of the Hunt-Ware duo. Somebody asked, is it really a big loss? Hunt's the best running back on the team. Now he's the number one. Plus, it's not like Andy is a ground-and-pound play caller. Again, Spencer Ware and Dee Ford are the two most underrated guys from last year. Both of them had their seasons muted, I would say, by mid-season hamstring injuries. And we forget just how good Spencer Ware was out of the backfield, on the ground, trying to pick up short yardage situations. Everywhere, Spencer Ware, I think, ended up being underrated last year because you remember the last thing you saw, which was him playing with an injury. I'm also now a little more worried about short yardage situations. Hunt picks up some of those Jamaal Charles short yard situations, you know, wherever he would still be your best. Jamaal Charles and Thomas Jones would share a backfield, and Charles was still the better short yardage guy. Let's go to Tom. Tom, you're on Sports Sunday. What's on your mind?
Hey, Joshua. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. Thanks for calling.
I'm extremely worried about our offense.
Yeah, me too.
Let's start with the wide receivers, Wilson, Conley, Tyreek Hill, Kelce. Yeah. I know Kelce's great and everything, but they all had drops.
Yep.
I saw nothing that led me to believe that they're any different than last year. And Tyreek Hill, I know he's a great threat on mm-hmm. returns, but he doesn't show me that he's an NFL wide receiver. He had two drops
mm-hmm.
Friday night, just like last year. And I know that one pass was a little behind him, but hey, this is the NFL. When you get two hands on the ball, you need to catch it.
Agreed.
I mean, I had coaches in high school telling me that. You get two hands on the ball, you've got to catch it.
Sure.
I know Kelce was pretty close to the line of scrimmage, and Alex seemed to scorch it in there. But he's a Pro Bowl wide receiver, or tight end. Come on. And Conley and Wilson, they had drops as well. I'm really worried. We did nothing to improve our wide receivers. We didn't add anybody after getting rid of Macklin.
No, you're right.
And with Ware gone, this is my last point, and I'll listen off the air.
Sure.
With Ware, he's kind of a stud, and he took the brunt of the load.
Yep.
With him gone, I think we're in trouble.
I agree. Tom, I'm sorry
I'll
that we're
listening off the air.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for the call. I'll good points that I agree with across the board. We're just up against the end of the show. Agreed very much that Spencer Ware will be a big loss. Agreed that not only did the wide receivers not get better this year, they got worse. Tyreek Hill's going to take a step forward, and that's exciting. And I do think you can buy into him as a number one wide receiver. I really do. But Jeremy Maclin jumped off this team, or was pushed overboard, I guess. DeMarcus Robinson, J.O. Chesson, Chris Conley, Albert Wilson, none of those guys give me any shred of confidence right now that they can actually step into this team in a significant way. Alex Smith is exactly Alex Smith. The offense was not good enough last year. It was an average offense. An average offense, by the way, that got above average starting field position. That's a problem. You cannot have, I think, the ninth best average starting field position last year and end up 16th or so in average touchdown percentage. That is unacceptable. So we'll talk about this more all week over on Almost Entirely Sports on ESPN Kansas City. That's 1510 AM and 99.3 FM. Tune in and also check out the podcast. They're all on Twitter at JB Briscoe. We're going to have a lot to talk about this week, for better or for worse. Bye.